الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه ومن والاه. All praises due to Allah. May Allah's peace and blessings be upon His Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. My dear brothers and sisters all over the world, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. With you is your brother Mamdouh Mahmoud from Houston, Texas. And I am very, very honored and happy and glad today to be in the presence of my mentor, my sheikh, my teacher, Dr. Salah Al-Sawi. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Alaykum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Dr. Salah is the Secretary General of Assembly of Muslim Jurists of America, and he is the President of Mishkan University. He's a resident scholar in Houston. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. We are honored and blessed to have him with us here in Houston, and we are honored and blessed to have him with us today, inshallah, Rabbil Alameen. We also have my dear brother and friend, Dr. Basim Hamid. Assalamu alaikum, Dr. Basim. MashaAllah, Dr. Basim Hamid is a very special person for me and for everybody, inshallah, Rabbil Alameen. Dr. Basim has three specialties, alhamdulillah: internal medicine, pain medicine, and he's a neurologist as well. Dr. Basim worked as a professor in MD Anderson, the Cancer Center, and also he worked as a professor in Iowa University, University of Iowa. Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen. And Dr. Basim is a practicing neurologist here in Houston. Plus all of this, Dr. Basim Hamid has a PhD in Sharia as well. Alhamdulillah. So he is a scholar in fiqh, jurisprudence, and a scholar in medicine, and we are blessed to have him here today. Dr. Salah, by the way, is not also a jurist only, he's a mentor. The Sheikh also is the one who upbring and raised generations of sheikhs and scholars. So without any further ado, we'll get to the topic, which is, of course, as you guessed, coronavirus. And all this pandemic that it is happening, and all this panic, and all this issue that perplexed the whole world. It is a global concern as we're speaking right now. And today we are going to set some balance between the religion and medicine, between Islam and medicine, between faith and medicine. And we talk with our brothers and sisters and our human community as well. Inshallah, Rabbil Alameen, I'd like on your behalf to welcome both doctors, and let's start, inshallah, with that. This is Dr. Salah and Dr. Basim. Of course, Dr. Salah understands English very well, but inshallah, for the sake of specialty and for the sake of professionalism, Sheikh will express in Arabic and will translate, inshallah, Rabbil Alameen. So this is more of a friendly meeting, and we wanted to talk, Dr. Basim, Dr. Salah, to our people as our family. We talk to them as our mothers, as our fathers, as our brothers and sisters. One of the issues I see in Houston here, that everybody is like speaking from a tower. Like if it's a doctor, like speaking like I know, and I'm not accusing anybody here, but people feel the disconnect. Like they are told, they are ordered. Today we want, in our short time, for people to feel the danger of it, the seriousness of it, the faith aspect of it, the medical aspect of it, and your advice, inshallah. So I start with you, Dr. Salah. Please tell us a couple of minutes of your take on this. Like how you see it as a sheikh, as a person, as a Muslim, as a scholar. How you seeing what is happening around you in few words?
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillah wa salatu wa salamu ala Rasulillah. وعلى آله وصحبه ومن والاه. ثم أما بعد، فإن الله جل وعلا يرسل رسله وينزل كتبه لكي يقوم الناس بالقسط ولكي يعبدهم له جل جلاله. إذا حدث غفلة أو تقصير أو تفريط، فإن الله جل وعلا طبيب عباده يرسل إليهم من المذكرات ومنها البلاء ما ينقذهم وما يرد شعرهم وما يعيده أن يعود جميلا. البلاء. ومن ثم الحديث النصي الذي جاء في الطاعون، وأنك إذا سمعت به بأرض لا تدخل إليها، وإن سمعت به وأنت فيها لا تخرج منها. هذا نص في المرض الخاص المعروف علميا بالطاعون، وغيره يقاس عليه اجتهادا وقياسا، لكن ليس موضع نص مباشر في هذه
ان شاء الله I'll ask Dr. Basim to take it from that point.
But, yes, ان شاء الله. فيعني أقصد النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم أخبر أن الطاعون أرسله الله جل وعلا رجسا وعذابا على من مضى من الأمم، وجعله الله شهادة ورحمة للمؤمنين. الطاعون يرسله الله جل وعلا رحمة لعباده المؤمنين، ويرسله رجزا وعذابا على المحاربين المقاتلين الظالمين. نحن لا نتحدث عن عموم الناس، نعتقد أن عموم الناس أمة محمد.
هذا كلام مهم طبعا.
عموم الناس أمة محمد. يعني الصينيون جزء من أمة محمد، الأمريكان جزء من أمة محمد، الأوروبيون جزء من أمة محمد، أمة الدعوة. لأن نبينا أرسل إلى الناس كافة، وأمة الاستجابة الذين استجابوا لله والرسول فرضوا بالله ربا وبالإسلام دينا. ولا ننسى في الصين ما يزيد عن 100 مليون مسلم. فليست قضية موقف ضد شعب أو موقف ضد عرق معين، إنما نحن نتحدث عن الظلام من البشر المحاربين أو لا يحاسبهم الله جل وعلا، كما قال تعالى ولنذيقنهم من العذاب الأدنى دون العذاب الأكبر لعلهم يرجعون. يعني هكذا يعني ترى المسألة إذا وضعت تحت المجهر الشرعي، أنه بالنسبة للمؤمنين رحمة، الله جل وعلا يكفر به من سيئات ما شاء، يرفع به من درجات ما شاء، يطهرهم به من ذنوبهم وأخطائهم ما شاء، ويكون عذابا ورجسا بالنسبة للظلام والمقاتلين والطغاة وكذا وكذا. ثم يبقى يعني بعد هذا تطبيق هذا الكلام أثره على شعائرنا على مناسكنا. لعل هذه نقطة.
نقطة ثانية إن شاء الله. أترجم بس هذا الكلام. دكتور صلاح، he ما شاء الله addressed it from a very عقيدة faith aspect, which is very important and lacking at the time of distress, at the time of crisis. We forget this dimension here. So Dr. Sah said Allah is our creator, subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he always sent his messengers to remind people and bring them back from their state of heedlessness or their state of not paying attention to him and his creation, subhanahu wa ta'ala. Messengers here, not necessarily a prophet or a messenger, a human being, but the Shaykh said, when Allah sees people diverting and deviating away, he brings them back through different calamities, different things, so they pay attention and they come back to him, they invoke him, and they unite around faith again. Also, Dr. Salah mentioned a very important aspect, which is that ta'un, or plague, is one of the of those messengers. The Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, he said it was a punishment for the nations before, but Allah sent it as a mercy to the believers. Then the Shaykh went further and he said every single human being living on earth at this time for the past 1400 years until our time, until the Day of Judgment, they are considered the nation of Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, whether they responded or they did not respond. The responded ones, they believe in Prophet Muhammad, but those who did not respond still qualify to be the Ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, peace be upon him. So he said it is a punishment for those transgressors regardless of their ethnicity or their religion, and it is a mercy and a reminder for everybody else who is from the Ummah of Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him. And the believers of Prophet Muhammad take a higher lesson, a more lesson, to come to Allah, to invoke him, and so on. Then the Shaykh talked about a very technical issue, which is, what is ta'un? Ta'un literally will be interpreted as plague, but Dr. Basim will tell us exactly what different type of plague and some historical background about it. So he said that every plague is an epidemic, and not every epidemic is a plague. And this is a very important point here, because the hadith of the Prophet ﷺ, when he say, do not enter the city when there is plague, and do not exit from it to go somewhere, the idea of quarantine, he is saying that this is in regards to the plague, which is an epidemic. But not every epidemic will take that rule, but we can draw analogy on it. We can go analogous to that and draw some analogy to it. So this is very important, because everybody now, mashallah, quoting this. Everybody saying hadith of ta'un, hadith of ta'un, hadith of ta'un, without differentiating. This is very important. So jazakallah khair, doctor. And then the Shaykh said the next point we'll talk about is, what is the impact on our practice, on our ibadah, and our sharia. So I will tell Dr. Basim to take it from there and tell us your take as a professional, as a medical professional with mashallah all this qualification, and also with your background in sharia. This is an asset for us, alhamdulillah. I'm very happy to have you today, wallah, Dr. Basim. We don't have another Basim in Houston. Only one, mashallah, with this background. So, jazakallah khairan, and please talk to your brothers and sister and your family about this from your perspective.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. I'm very pleased and honored to be here with my beloved brother Sheikh Mamdouh and our beloved mentor and scholar and teacher Sheikh Salah Al-Sawi. This is a great opportunity for everyone. The pandemic of coronavirus, COVID-19, is not something new to us. We dealt with SARS in the year 2003, which was very similar, you know, the swine flu. We dealt with the MERS, which is the camel flu. And every few years, it seems like Allah sends us a reminder, you know, to know exactly what we need to do to remind us of our humanity and the need of our submission and humility to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And why we're getting here. We'll talk in a minute what's a pandemic, what's endemic, what's the plague, what is a, not a plague. But anything in medicine
is subject to a cause and effect relationship.
Okay.
Most of us know what the flu is. The flu is a virus, it's a disease. You know, when you violate certain rules of hygiene, you get the flu.
Okay.
Easy and simple.
This is a magic word. Rules of hygiene.
Rules of hygiene. Okay. And this is where we need to focus today.
Right.
And the COVID-19 is no different. Mm-hmm. And it goes back to one principle that I always like to remind myself and people. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in His infinite wisdom has designed this cosmos to work based on certain cause-effect relationships. That's what we call al-amr al-kawni. This is the cosmic command. This is part of the qadr, the destiny of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Just like your car, when it runs out of gas, stops. There is no ifs, ands, or buts about it. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has sent His guidance, the best of guidance to humanity through His beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, يُحِلُّ لَهُمُ الطَّيِّبَاتِ وَيُحَرِّمُ عَلَيْهِمُ الْخَبَائِثِ. He, in simplistic terms, it's a tool, it's a soldier that Allah sends to His people to remind them of what they are and who the Creator is, subhanahu wa ta'ala, and who's in charge. This is very important to know who's in charge. I mean, we're at a level that is unprecedented in the history of humanity. Technological advancement. We have nuclear weapons. In 14 minutes, you push a button and you destroy a whole nation. Yet, we have a virus that is threatening the entire world, threatening the economy. I mean, look at what happened to the stock market. I'm not talking about the global effect. I'm just talking about what happened here in the U.S. I mean, in 2 weeks, I mean, this is unprecedented historic. So, inshallah, during our conversation, we will talk about more about examples that happened historically. The 1918 flu pandemic. We'll talk about the Amwas plague that affected
Muslims and the companions.
About 20,000 of the Sahaba and the Tabi'in.
Yeah. So if we want to talk, you mentioned, as the Sheikh also pointed out, what the plague is. When there is a disease in a certain area that is contagious, we call this as endemic or epidemic, I'm sorry, that affects a certain locality, certain country. When it crosses countries, continents, it becomes a pandemic. And that's what we call waba or jaiha.
Everybody now.
Everyone. It's a global. And now, as of the most recent data, we have it in 158 countries.
Yesterday they were saying 114. Subhanallah.
So it's 158 countries. That's a massive pandemic, unprecedented. And in 1918, that was the swine flu, you know, what do they call it, the Spanish flu, that affected every single country almost on globe, on earth. And it harvested the lives of about 50 million people.
More than World War.
Exactly. We had just came out of the World War I, where approximately 15 to 20 million lives were lost. And now we have a pandemic. 600,000 people's lives were lost in the United States of America, which was at that time also in the peak of development and advancement. Now back to the point to differentiate between the wada and the ta'un, the pandemic and the plague. The pandemic is any disease that is contagious, that is widely spread, breaks out in different localities. It could be the flu, it could be SARS, it could be COVID-19, it could be plague. Plague in medicine is a specific disease that is caused by a specific germ, actually. It's not a virus, it's a bacteria, which is the Yersinia, which is transmitted through fleas, through the rodents, particularly the rats, actually, on the ships. So this is how it went from one country to another. And this is what appears to have affected the companions in Umwas, which is a town in northern Palestine. It transmitted through the Byzantines, their neighbors, and the Romans at that time. And most literature suggests, actually, it affected 40,000 people who died. 25,000 Muslims were martyred. Amongst them were some of the most noble companions
of the Prophet.
Amin wa hadhi al-Ummah.
Abu Ubaidah.
Yazid ibn Abi Sufyan.
Mu'adh ibn Jabal.
Shurahbil ibn Hassana. And
Mu'adh ibn Jabal.
And that was an extension, actually, of a plague that happened 100 years ago, 100 years prior. That was the Justinian plague. The Umwas plague happened in 641. 100 years prior to that, it was the Justinian plague.
In Europe?
In Europe, particularly Istanbul, it harvested about 10% of the global population at that time.
Wow.
And interestingly, some scientists and researchers track it back to northwest of China.
Wow.
And we will talk about this in more, inshallah, why this is happening. Why is it China?
Yeah.
So, I would like to hear more from our
from the
Sheikh, actually.
Sheikhna, as you taught us, our deen is not only the deen of ibadah or routine ibadah. There is aqeedah, our relationship with our Lord, and that aqeedah is in the heart, and then reflects on how we show through the ibadah, salah, zakah, siyam, hajj, and this ibadah take us to the realm of akhlaq, how we deal with each other. So if the ibadah does not reflect on us, aqidah reflects on ibadah, ibadah reflects or leads us to akhlaq and morals. So please tell us, Sheikh, in this specific asthma crisis, what is the impact on our ibadah? You talk to us about our faith. Allah sends us to remind us, to bring us back to Him and believe in Him. How does this affect our ibadah now?
Bismillah. ابتداءً منظومة الأحكام الشرعية منظومة واحدة. يأخذ بعضها بحجة بعض ويفضي بعضها إلى بعض. عندما تقرأ في القرآن الكريم آية الدين مثلا تقف أنت تصلي عند الله عز وجل ثم تقرأ آية تتحدث عن أحكام المدنية المحتملة. إذا فلان كمدين إلى أجل مسمى فاقبلوه إلى آخر ذلك. تنظر إلى التناحي بين العبادات والمعاملات، إلى التعلق ما بين العقيدة والشريعة، تقف في عبادة لله عز وجل ثم تتحدث عن أحكام مدنية كانت في أحد مكاتب شهر العقاد، يضع لك تفاصيل وإجراءات عجيبة ودقيقة جدا جدا. في جانب الصلاة وارتباطها بالخلق، إن الصلاة تنهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر، ولذكر الله أكبر، ومن لم تنهى صلاته عن الفحشاء والمنكر تعلق لا يزال من الله إلا بعدا ما دام لم يخشع في صلاته ولم تحمله على التخلق بالخلق الحسن والانكفاف عن مناكر الله تعالى ومصاخبه. للشارع مقصودان عظيمان في الجملة، أن تعظم شعائره وهذا من تقوى القلوب، ذلك ومن يعظم شعائر الله فإنها من تقوى القلوب، ذلك ومن يعظم حرمات الله فهو خير له عند ربه. ومن تعظيم شعائره ألا تقابل أمره لا بتشدد غالب ولا بتلخص جاف، لا تغلو في تصلبك وتشددك ولا تجفو في ترخصك واعتذارك. هنا كل الحسنة بين السيئتين، سيئة التفراط وسيئة التفريط، والذين إذا أنفقوا لم يسرفوا ولم يقتلوا، وكان بين ذلك قواما. فمقصود الشارع أن نعظم شعائر الله عز وجل وأن نحافظ عليها، ومن أعظم شعائره الصلاة. من أعظم الصلاة عمود فسطاط الإسلام، عمود خيمته، من أقامها أقام الدين، ومن هدم فقد هدم الدين والدنيا معا، أسأل الله لي ولكم العافية. وفي المقابل في مقصود شرع آخر عظيم جدا، حفظ الأنفس، وكل أحكام الشرعية تصب وتؤكد على هذا المقصود الشرع العظيم، وعشرات الأحكام الشرعية تنحو هذا المنحى وتصب في هذا الاتجاه. فلا نقيم خصومة ما بين مقصودين شرعيين، كيف نحافظ على شعائر الله ما استطعنا، وكيف نحافظ على أرواح عباده ما استطعنا، مسلمين ومعاهدين والعالم كله، لأن الأصل في النفوس العصمة، والنفوس في أصل العصمة سواء. فمن المحافظة على شعائر الله عز وجل أن نمارس شعائر ديننا في الجمع والجماعات والعبادات ما استطعنا إلى ذلك سبيلا، لكن في إطار المنظومة الطبية والقواعد الطبية التي أفرزتها الجهات المعنية المتخصصة، والتي في عالم الأسباب البشرية تمثل حماية وتمثل ضمانات للمحافظة على البشر وعدم انتقال العدوى بينهم وعدم التفاقم المضرة في أوقات المحن والأزمات والفتن. ده الكونسبت يعني التصور في الجملة، تطبيق هذا عمليا لعله
النقطة إن شاء الله. الشيخ told us a very important thing, mashallah, here, very important principle that all of us has to keep while we are thinking about this. Because we hear people talking from different perspectives, different directions, but the Sheikh told us how to think on the same ground. Sheikh said, ahkam of our sharia and our deen, they are always interlacing with each other. They are interlacing. You cannot separate the rules of aqidah, faith, from the rules of ibadah, worship, from the rules of mu'amalat, dealing with each other, from the morals and manners. You cannot separate them. You'll find that one leading to the other. And the Sheikh gave us a beautiful example. He said, you stand in salah, prayer, and you read the verse of the debt. It is as if you are in a municipal court or in the an office to register some type of document or notary or something like that. So the Sheikh said, so purely talking about a specific way of a transaction, a business transaction, which is the debt, how you write it, how witness and all that. But you are praying. So you are praying out of believing in Allah, aqidah, ibadah, worship. And then you are reciting mu'amalat, and that changes your behavior. So the Sheikh said, they're always like that. Then the Sheikh told us that that the rules, the most of the important of the rules of worship is salah, prayer. And as the Prophet said, it is the pillar of Islam. It is like the main pillar, like a tent. The main pillar is the middle pillar. If you take it out, the whole thing collapses. So the whole religion will collapse. And whoever establishes it, establishes the whole religion. Whoever destroys, destroys the religion and the world, the dunya as well. Dunya and akhirah will be destroyed. May Allah save us all. And the Sheikh made that dua. Then the Sheikh said that we have to strike the balance between when you are practicing your rules of salah, and your rules, specifically rules of salah, and generally the rules of ibadah, is to be in the middle, not within the two extremes. The two extremes are bad. One, holding rigidly without understanding the medicine, the quarantine, the danger, the problem, how the specialized people told us, how the doctors told us the danger, and ignoring all of that, while the other one is ignoring the Sharia altogether as well and taking the means. So you have to take the means, believe in Allah, practice, and the Sheikh mentioned that and he emphasized on it, practice the rituals of your deen, including Salah, as much as you can and as long as you're able to. As long as you're able to. You have to keep practicing it within the frame of respecting the rules of the city and the authorities and all of that, which would be the next point on how, because I get many questions on, tell us how to do it practically. So this basically was what the Sheikh mentioned. So what we get out of this is our aqidah, our ibadah, our morals, our manners, our business transactions and dealings, they are all connected. You cannot separate them. So at this time of calamity, all they come at play, all of them. Transaction, Dr. Basim mentioned, like how the recession coming, you know, is his transactions. Aqidah, what do we do with Allah? Ibadah, how it affects our salah. How we deal with each other and respect each other. Please, Dr. Basim, take the point from the Sheikh and give us this medical perspective on what the Sheikh told us now and how we're going to, you know, the Sharia here, how we put it in that frame. And I want it to come from you specifically, inshallah.
No, the Sheikh has beautifully put it that our life is the balance.
And according to the Sharia, the Islamic law, this is the way how we should live our life. وَكَذَلِكَ جَعَلْنَاكُمْ أُمَّةً وَسَطًا. We've made you a nation of the optimum way, which is the moderate way.
Right.
And now we talk about the COVID-19 pandemic. How we establish the rituals of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but at the same time observe that we're required to follow the means, the causes, take precautions, take whatever is preventative. This is very important. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, such as he mentioned the verse of the dead, talking about how we regulate our transactions, he told us that we don't base our opinions, our decisions on speculations, illusions,
right,
delusions, suspicions, and doubts. He says, وَلَا تَقْفُ مَا لَيْسَ لَكَ بِهِ عَلْمٍ. Do not follow any path that is not based on knowledge.
Mm.
Knowledge should be based on facts. And here, what the Sheikh has referred to, we have to follow the facts as they're presented by credible entities. When it comes to this matter, we look at the recommendations, the guidelines of the CDC, Center of the Disease Control. The United States proudly has the most credible organization in the entire
world.
And we're in Houston, and we take a pride in having the biggest medical center in the world. We're proud of it. We're happy to be here. And it provides the best care. And when it comes to recommendations and guidelines, this is our source of knowledge. فَاسْأَلُوا أَهْلَ الذِّكْرِ إِن كُنْتُمْ لَا تَعْلَمُونَ. When you don't know, you need to know, then ask the people who have the knowledge. Who has the knowledge here? It's the local officials. It's the CDC, credible resources. Not your own speculations, not your own fears, not your own doubts and illusions.
So the Sheikh said, once those two are there, we are not compromising our Sharia. We are taking from the experts, from their expertise, what is currently happening. And as scholars, the Sheikh said, we take this and categorize it and put it under the main principles and maxims of Sharia that came to protect the self and the soul and the religion and all of that. And then the fatwa comes in that light. So we tell our brothers, we are the ones who tell you to straighten the line. We are the ones who tell you do not let gap, but we are between each other. But we are the ones who are telling you to do it in that way based on that. And if this is the only way out of this crisis, as Dr. Basim mentioned, Dr. Salah reiterated, mashallah, and emphasized and expanded on, that becomes the Sharia. This is part of our Sharia now. And the Sheikh said that this is a temporary measurement. You know, after it finishes, then we come back again until you stay together. So please, whenever says you stay, keep social distancing. Keep social distancing. And it is part of our Sharia, because the fuqaha or the jurists are the ones who are telling you that based on the expert's opinion. They are not separate. And then the Sheikh said, which really hurts here, he said, we are in pain more than like everybody else. We are sad like everybody else. We are actually praying with you. We are leading your salah. It is not like we are telling you what to do and we are not praying. No, we are with you in that. So your concern is our concern. And the Sheikh said, people, slaves of Allah, who live in a time that the houses of worship are closed, that there is no tawaf around the Kaaba, that the sacred house of Allah is closed in front of the people, they are not good servants of Allah. So this is the time to come back to Allah. If this is not the time to invoke Allah and come back to Him and be humble and cry and put our head down for His mercy to alleviate this problem and relieve us from this this stress and this calamity, what would be the time? Sheikh said, we would be the epidemic. We would be the disease for this humanity if we do not go back to Allah and follow the rules of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Dr. Basim, I want to ask you a direct question here. What are the bases on which like CDC say do this and do that? And what is the difference between 50 people and 10 people and 5 people and lockdown? How did they come up with this?
Sure. You know, CDC built their recommendations on very complicated, sophisticated models, statistical models. And of course, there is nothing that is called absolute truth. It is to the best of their judgments and abilities. And that's why these recommendations could be tailored from one place to another. So they look at the data, how much the disease is spreading, the transmission, and compare it to previous models from previous diseases until you what's going to happen. It's predictions. I mean, they have biostatisticians, they have public health experts, they have softwares that would analyze the data, and they would do what's best, the precaution. No one can tell you, not that, if you want to borrow the expression, a crystal ball. No one knows the ghaib of Allah except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But this is to the best of their ability to protect the public and masses. Their job is to control the disease, basically. Right. So that's why when they come up with a recommendation, just like it is hard for you and for the Sheikh to tell people, leave gaps between the people who are praying, it is very hard for them to tell people, do not go out and eat. Do not go out to...
I want to hear that.
Yeah. But now I emphasize it, and I want to echo what the CD is saying. For an older person, please stay and pray at home. Make dua for us, and Allah, inshallah, will give you the reward of praying in jama'ah.
So 60 and up, yeah.
Yes, or any person who feels they're ill, a sick person. Women and children, they're not required to go to the masjid for congregational prayer, let alone the Friday prayer. Please do not take that risk, because you're not taking the risk to yourself only, but you're also imposing extra jeopardy, extra risk, extra hazard on others by congesting the place. Please stay at home, and I pray to Allah that He will give you the reward and extra, because these are the real, this is part of the servitude of to Allah. This is part of the ubudiyya to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to do what's best, to protect yourself and protect others. We're not in any way minimizing the importance of the rituals of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We revere it, we esteem it. But this is the time, as the Sheikh has taught us, ahkamul ittirar are different from ahkamul ikhtiyar. The rules of dire necessity or needs or exceptional situation are different from the time of ease, when you have that choice, when you have an option you can make. We're certainly now applying ahkamul ittirar.
Yeah, not in the norm.
The rules that are exceptional. And this is why it is important to follow the ayah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has beautifully stated it in Surah An-Nisa. وَإِذَا جَاءَهُمْ أَمْرٌ مِّنَ الْخَوْفِ أَوْ الْأَمْنِ أَوْ الْخَوْفِ أَذَاعُوا بِهِ.
ولو ردوه إلى الرسول وإلى أولي الأمر منهم لعلمه الذين يستنبطونه منهم. سبحان الله. When there is a matter of controversy or fear of doubt, ascribe it to the Prophet and people who are in charge. And who has that job to analyze and deduct and reach the conclusion?
The CDC and the
special people. This is what the Sheikh, the experts and the scholars.
Right.
No one is going to deceive you. Everyone has nothing but their truly like cordial and sincere intention to protect you. They're not doing to you anything they're not doing to themselves. And again, we don't follow any path of suspicion, doubt.
Don't doubt people's intentions.
Exactly. Don't doubt people's intentions. Everyone exercising the best effort to the best of their ability that's humanly possible to do what's best. Your individual opinion is not going to be better than these collective people, all these brains put together.
I believe that they are deceiving.
Absolutely. This is a time when we say, in order to prevent the disease, you have to be calm, you have to enhance your immune system by optimism, by a state of health. Spreading the panic and the fear and the doubts and the conspiracy theory is certainly counterproductive.
Right.
And is not going to help anyone. It's not going to help you, and it's not going to help the people around you. That's what people quote unquote say, negative energy.
Negative, yes.
No bueno.
No bueno.
We don't want negative energy. We only want optimism. The Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, and I'm going to give this hadith, and I'm going to transfer it to you to hash it out with the Sheikh. The Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam says, La adwa wa la tiara. We're talking about the contagious diseases, but also there should be no pessimism.
He's and I would both, yeah.
Yes, this is, and I would like you to pick up from here,
right.
And see how, ask the Sheikh, how would we apply this in our life? How do we comprehend it right? And what's the practical implication in this crisis?
So what we take it from you, Dr. Bassem, in this segment, that these people, CDC and all of that, they are not there to scare you. They are not there to deceive you. They are there based on statistics and knowledge and science and
facts.
And they are part of the society.
Of course.
It is affecting them and their families too.
Of course.
So whatever they say, take it seriously.
Absolutely.
Don't say it's just a recommendation, it is whatever. No, no, just take it seriously.
You better take it seriously.
Better take it seriously. Jazakallah khair. So Dr. Salah, what we heard from Dr. Bas, and Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, he said there is no contagion and there is no pessimism. In this hadith, he asked two things. But he at the same time said, stay away from the infection. So how can we put them together? And then we have one more segment we'll be done, inshallah.
Thank you. أسبابه ومشيئه. إذا نفي مقام الكون مع الله أخص قبر الله وجعل النجوم تكتب من أسباب مشيئه.
Very far from deep. So the Sheikh Masha'Allah said that we are not supposed to think or have the thought of any contradiction or discrepancy in the statements of our Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Let alone the Quran, of course. But when the Prophet said no contagion and no pessimism, he's also said that run away from a person with leprosy like you run from a lion. And when a person came from tribe to give the bay'ah, the pledge to Rasulullah, pledge of allegiance in Islam, he told them, stay wherever you are, we give you. So the Sheikh said, we're not supposed to bring those together. He's the same one, the same. He's the Prophet ﷺ who said this and that. So what does it mean when he says the camel, when they told him, Ya Rasulullah, there are healthy camels and one camel which has like a skin problem or something, and he comes and he become contagious to everything. So Rasulullah said, and who is the one who give the disease to the first one? But at the same time, he said that nobody with sick camels come to the healthy camels. So there is no contradiction or discrepancy here. The Sheikh said, it is the Prophet ﷺ, what he means and what we understand is that the disease itself, is it does not hurt by itself. But this is a cosmic order, as cosmic destiny, as Dr. Bassem mentioned, from Allah, that he make the disease act that way if it is given the same cause and effect like Dr. Bassem was mentioning. So if it has this environment, it would do that. But if Allah wills, he will take that away from it, like the fire did not burn Prophet Ibrahim, the water did not drown Prophet Musa, the knife did not slaughter Prophet Ismail, the whale did not digest Prophet Yunus. So all of these things will work in a certain way according to the cosmic order, but Allah is able to take that away from it. The contagion is the same way, and Allah is able to take it away. So understand. So the Sheikh said that all of this will come down to two things. One is that do not spread this culture of panic. We call it a culture of panic, is that okay?
The hysteria.
All over. And then the Sheikh said it leads to bad results on the way we care about each other. People go to the grocery stores and they run in flocks over there, and then they start transgressing each other. There is no respect of distance. There is no respect of people's need, and people take more than they need. She said, no. Sharia and Islam, they say, take what you need according to the situation. Listen to the advice and take what you need accordingly, so you do not exhaust the resource for those who would actually need it. Also, the Sheikh said, we depend on Allah Azza wa Jal. So do not abandon the means. Because if you abandon the means, it is problem with the head. A person is insane if they abandon the means. And if the person depends on the means altogether and ignore depending on Allah, they are having a problem with their iman and their faith. So a person will be accused in believing in Allah if they depend on the means. They'll be accused of their sanity if they ignore the means. So the Sheikh said, Tawfiq means the help and the real support of Allah is when a person balances between both. You listen to the advice and you act accordingly. You believe in Allah that whatever happens, it will happen no matter what you do, but you do what you have to do. This is the outcome of what you mentioned.
Yeah, لعلنا نمشي أيضا إلى نقطة أنها التخلية بين الأطباء وبين ممارسة
المهام. So the Sheikh reminding you with a very important point, and he said that the doctors, they are treating patients. So if the hadith is misunderstood, that means they have to depend on Allah and they have to take their precautions as well. Otherwise, people will abandon the practice of medicine because they are afraid of contagion. And they are the ones actually the closest. Their hands are on the problem, not like us. And you are telling us, Dr. Basim, stay away, but you are not staying away. You are going there to the person. Yes, you are taking your precautions, but we have to appreciate that. Like we really have to appreciate that. And the doctors, actually, Muslim doctors will be the best to apply this hadith, according to what you said. Depending on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but they are taking and putting the hazmat suit and all of that kind of thing. But they believe in Allah. Otherwise, they will really abandon the medicine. If they depend on the means only, what if a small mistake comes? I can die. They will not do. And if they abandon the means, then they will get sick. And we have a problem. So actually the best manifestation. Shaykhna, to finish, inshallah, because I think we took a long time, and we'll just, I promise, inshallah, our audience will not be the last one. Inshallah, we will have this program coming to you, inshallah, from Dr. Salah's page, inshallah, that will host more people, and we will keep you informed. Now, the time is about Salah. Ramadan is coming. Okay? And we do not know how long this thing will last. Ramadan is about 5-6 weeks away.
5 weeks.
5 weeks away. We do not know. But most likely, the way things are going, we'll have an issue. Ramadan, I know, Sheikh, it's much easier than Jum'ah wal Jama'at, Tarawih, Sunnah, and that. So, Isha is still there. And people like to come in Ramadan a lot. So, that's one question. What your take on this to prepare people? Number two, people prefer to give their zakah and sadaqat in Ramadan. But now, sadaqat needed. And many people are out of the job with that. So what will be your word from a Shara'i perspective as well as from a fatherly perspective to people to that advice?
لعلنا نبدأ نقول إن العبد يجر عليه من العمل وهو مريض أو مسافر ومن أجله ما كان يجر عليه وهو صحيح مقيم وإن من مدينة الرجال ما سرت مسيرا ولا قطعت مواديا إلا كانوا معكم حبسهم والآخر يقول يا ذاهبين إلى البيت العتيق لقد صرت بصوم وسبنا نحن والرواح لقد بقينا على عذر عن قبل ومن أقرب على عذر فقد راح وأرجو أن تقول أنفس إخواننا ما داموا عازمين وقاصدين ولم يقصروا في الماضي عندما كانت أسباب العافية متاحة أرجو أن لا يحرموا كجرى المجيء إلى المسجد وأمر الاعتكاف فيه وأمر الاجتماع مع جماعة المسلمين الحيلة بينه وبين هذا بسبب عرض قوي هذه فقط لمسة تطيب خاطر الذين يستشعرون الفجيعة والوجيعة عندما يحال بينه وبين بيوت الله عز وجل الأسباب القاهرة الطارئة هذه لقطة أخرى لقطة الثانية سبحانك الله إني فيما أفعل أقول ماذا أفعل عمليا الذي نفعل نحن الآن إذا ظلت تعليماتك كما هي حتى نخرج هنا كما هو
الإنسان فحساب الزكاة خارج رمضان أيسر لأن الإنسان يعني من جانب عملي
لقطة أخرى يعني نعم صحيح وهو طبعا يعني إذا حدثت نازلة يجب تعجيل الزكاة دي نقطة مهمة جدا إذا حدثت نازلة يجب تعجيل الزكاة إذا احتجنا فاستسلفنا مع عباس صدقة عامة وتدفع الزكاة مقدمة
صدقة الزكاة
نازلة لا 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 هو غالب تعبير الصدقة
صدقات
الصدقات
صدقات
صدقات فعلم أن الله قد افترض عليهم صدقة فتعبير الصدقات أبلغ وأدخل في باب الزكاة الواجبة يعني فإن كنا احتجنا فاستسلفنا العباسة صدقة عامين فيجوز تعجيل الزكوات لا سيما في أوقات المحن والأزمات والنكبات ونحوها لكن لا يجوز تأخيرها يعني التعجيل مشروع أما الأخير لا، لأن الأصل هو المبادرة إلى إخراج الواجب إذا حان ميقات إخراجه. اللي بطلع مقدما يمكن يعمل لو واحد بطلع مثلا لو أن أحد الناس يخرج مرتبات لبعض الفقراء والمساكين على مدار العام، كأن سحب من رصيد زكاة العام القادم، آخر السنة يعمل تصفية، كم دفع وكم يلزمه ويعمل مقاصة بين ما دفعه وبين ما يلزمه للقاعدة فيها.
بارك الله فيكم شيخنا. الشيخ said سبحان الله about the عبادة and the worship they asked about the month of Ramadan coming and all of that. So the Sheikh said whatever we're doing now we'll continue doing. And the issue of تراويح and اعتكاف and staying in the masjid and seeing your brothers and all of that, those are not fard like the salah. We are now talking about the fard and the jama'ah and the jum'ah. So if it continues, it will continue same thing in Ramadan with no difference. And the issue of the sunnah and all of that, you get the reward, as the Sheikh said, that whoever is traveling or sick and not able to do the ibadah, like a resident and healthy, will get the reward of a resident and healthy, because here it's not their choice. And also the Prophet ﷺ said there are people when you are traveling for in the path of Allah, people in Medina, they are getting reward exactly like you without even moving, because they were deprived from being with you because of excuse. So the Sheikh said, based on excuse, you want to do something, you are eager to do something, you are not able to do it because of the situation, you get the full reward, inshallah, Rabbil Alameen. Also, the Sheikh said that even poetry says we will go to Hajj and Umrah, and some people staying, but they go with their souls over there because they cannot go. So based on all of that, the Sheikh said that the ibadah will continue with what we do, but we have to follow all the ever-changing situations, a very fluid situation changing even every hour. Not as we're speaking, we don't know, maybe something changes after we finish this gathering here. So the Sheikh said we have to follow that, and we have to be in accordance with everything that we mentioned in this session, respecting everybody and following the authorities and all of that. So Ramadan will be no different in that aspect, and we all eager to practice, of course. Number two, the Sheikh said zakah, it is connected to the annual calculations. So when once the annual 12 month passes on the minimum zakatable money, then the zakah is due, and you are not supposed to delay it. Some people like to fix it on Ramadan for extra reward, which is okay, but the Sheikh said should not be the default. You should not delay the zakah on the actual time that it is due. And the hikmah of Allah is actually He made the zakah as a source that will come all year round, because everybody's hawl or everybody's annual due time is different. We are different from each other.
Constant influx.
So it comes 24/7. There is a zakah given to someone. Someone giving zakah, someone receiving zakah. But if everybody pays zakah in Ramadan, the rest of the year people stay poor. Right. So basically you have to keep that in mind, if I understood the Sheikh right. Number two, the Sheikh said, you can actually give in advance, a year or two in advance. And Rasulullah said, we needed money. So we asked Al-Abbas, his uncle, to give 2 years of zakah in advance. So how would you know when you don't know how much the zakah is due? The Sheikh said, you give some money in advance, more or less. And then at the end of the year, you see how much you paid and how much is due. And you have to do a balance sheet and come out of that. So the Sheikh said, at the time that we are in, people, of course, will need the zakah. And every word in Quran talking about sadaqah mostly is about the zakah. So we give to the people, or the 8 categories that they are mentioned. And I will add, like, the organizations and the masajid and the administrations, they are the ones who feel the pulse more than individuals. Because maybe you need a family, or you know a family or two, but they know, like, a bulk of people. And I know there is an initiative in Houston right now, different organizations coming together, establishing a fund to give those who are laid off or out of the job. Or I heard, Allah Sheikh, about people that they had a very good job in big, I don't want to mention names, in big organizations. And yesterday they got a call after the men, you know, involved in the house and the car and furniture and everything. They get a call from their job and they said, you get half paid and you work only 2 weeks a month. Slashing half with one phone call. Half. Yeah, the children are in private schools. He signed a contract with a big house. He signed a contract. You know, he has good money. Now it is slashed to half. You can imagine what is happening. So some people are worse than that. Now this is not the worst of the situation. Some people worse than that. People who used to do Uber. People who used to work paycheck to paycheck, hand to mouth, like we say. People who mow the grass. But they do all of this fast. Like there is no income at all. So I think the zakah now, there will be more zakatable, there are more recipient of zakah. So I think, you know, based on what the Sheikh said, that we should pay attention to this. So last, Sheikhna, if we can get a final word على هذه الأزمة and how people like should يعني كلمتين مختصرتين يعني two brief advice to finish this with people and so on. And more to come inshallah. يعني we'll meet again and we'll ask specific questions. فتاوى. This session was not intended to do fatwas. This session was intended for more understanding, more closure. يعني this is the sheikh, this is the doctor, and this is what happens in the kitchen. في المطبخ يعني. That is what happens in the kitchen. I know for sure these people sitting here with us, myself included, we do not sleep well. You know, fatwas flying left and right, questions from people and all of that, and decisions and following up. Believe it or not, this is not the life that a person would like. So if people care about you all, people care about us. So alhamdulillah, we intended to have this for you as a message to comfort you, that everybody cares. So أخيراً شيخنا
يعني أقول لإخواني في الجملة أحسن صلى بالله عز وجل أحسن صلى بالله جل جلاله وأعلموا أن أفعاله لا تنفع قرآن في المدينة أنت من ذلك من أدرك وجهل ذلك من جهل ثم أحسن صلى بمن تخصمهم في مجال الخلق من أرض وقادة يعني ينبغي أن يرحم بعضنا بعضا إذا لم يتحدثون في مسألة من المسائل يتفقون أو يختلفون ولا يزال كل واحد يحفظ من أخيه من خلفه يحفظ له جاهه ويحفظ له حرمته وعصمته ثم يأتي بعض الناس يطلقون قدم الكفر ويعجبون بجواب ويسلمون الأخبار ويبتلون أخبار تؤدي إلى مزيد من الاعتقادات والتصعيدات فيعني نصيحتي أن يحسن الناس التعامل مع هذه الأزمة وأن لا يزيدوا الأمة المتأزمة سوءا وأن لا يزيدوا الحرائق اشتعالا وليس بطيئة الرجل زعمه وأن تتبين فيما تتقنه من أخبار أن الله جعل لك رسالة واحدة وجعل لك أذنين لكي تتكلم وتصغي ما تسمع فالتثبت يعني فتبين أن تدرك أنه في أزمة في الفتن وغربة الدين عندما تزدحم المصالح والمفاسد ويجتهد الناس في الموازنة بينها يحدث التباس كثير وتتفاوت الاجتهادات وتختلف التقديرات من الناس وينظر إلى الجانب الشرعي وحده ويركز عليه ويغفل الجانب حفظ النفس وعصمته وينظر إلى الجانب الثاني ويناقش وينقص الجانب الشرعي ومن يحاول التربية قد لا ينضبط الميزان بيده ضبطا دقيقا في هامش من الاختلاف لابد ان يقع فكيف نتعامل معه هذا الهامش لا سبيل الى رفعه من الناحيه القدريه واقع لا محاله لان كسر من النصوص حماله ذات وجه والعقول البشريه المستقبل لهذه النصوص اين متفاوته في النتيجه بين هذا وذاك لابد من الهامش من الاختلاف والتفاوت يسعنا ويسعنا أن يعذر بعضنا بعضا فيه زي الشيخ رحمه الله يقول اعلم أن الله تعالى لم ينصب على جميع الأحكام الشرعية إلا تتقاطع بل جعلها ضمنية قصدت من أجل التوسعة على أمر الذين إجماعهم من أجل القاطعة واختلافهم رحمة واسعة قد جماعة رحمة ونفرقة عذاب زاد ألمه الوطني إلى الاستخاف الوطني فأولى أهل الدين لهم الاستخلاف الإسلامي فلا الاستخلاف الإسلامي أو الاستخلاف الديني أو التشجع له في مقدمة أولوياتنا فإنها فتلافات وعلى تلالا ما يغشى الواقع الإسلامي من تجرزم وعدلال واختلاف أرجو أن تكون هذه الزهرة من دول الرسالة الرقيقة إلى إخواننا لو أربعوا على أنفسكم أحسن الظن بي ومن حرم أجر المجتهد المسلم أرجو أن لا يحرم أجر المجتهد المخطئ.
You know that the actions or the decisions of Allah is not separate from the hikmah of Allah. When Allah decides something to happen, and for sure this we believe that it happened by the decision and the will of Allah, He make it happen, subhanahu wa ta'ala. And He made it happen, subhanahu wa ta'ala. He decided for this virus to come. He decided for it to happen that way. And He has a hikmah. Maybe we realize it, maybe we don't realize it, but we know that the two are there. So Allah's action and Allah's hikmah, wisdom. Allah has a will and Allah has a wisdom. So whatever happened has a wisdom behind it. We'll realize it sooner or later, Allah alam. So this is the first point briefly. Second point, which is very important, the Sheikh expounded on it, is when Allah chose people of leadership, the scholars or the people who are giving the Sharia perspective on things, trust them. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give them the ability, so be easy on them. People keep, as the Sheikh said, throwing smoke bombs, and which makes visibility zero. So we cannot reach to the people when we trying to tell them what is the religion and all of that. There are some people who will focus on the ritual aspect of the religion and abandoning the part of preserving the soul, which is the core of the religion. And some people focus on the preservation of the people and their health and all that, and marginalize. The Sheikh did not say that they abandoned. He said marginalize the sha'air and want to cancel it and all of that. So the Sheikh said that the tawfiq of Allah, the success, the true success, is to bring them together. The scholars and the experts are the best ones to bring those together. The doctor is telling us how to preserve ourselves. Preserve ourselves is part of our Sharia. The shuyukh will keep those two in their head. How to preserve our souls and our lives to function, and how to keep the rituals of Allah going without compromising either one. That's why they are in a hot seat. That's why they are in a very hard job to do. So we trust our sheikhs, and we give them the ability to make those decisions. Did I miss something, Sheikh? Or there is something like... I think there are a few other words that you mentioned, but because I'm very emotional. So I think I... So the sheikh basically reiterating on the fact that ijtihad among the shiuch will always have differences. Why? Because as Imam Zarkashi mentioned, the Sheikh said, Imam Zarkashi mentioned that Allah Azza wa Jal made some of the ahkam able to be interpreted. Not precise, not clear cut. Why? Out of rahmah. He could do that, subhanahu wa ta'ala. But there has to be an issue of exerting opinion. And within exerting opinion, that space of exerting opinion, the Sheikh might differ. It's not going to be like one, because Allah did not make it one. And that's why the Sheikh said, when they agree, it becomes an argument over everybody. Nobody can go another way. But if they disagree, it is a rahmah from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So some people might have different opinion on how to apply things. So in here, we have to prioritize. The Sheikh said, when lots of benefits and disadvantages and corruption and all of that there, it is very hard to maneuver. It's very hard to decipher this. especially with all these rumors, the culture of rumors. And so the Sheikh said, try to verify. Try to take it back to the scholars and try to follow the leadership. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bring us from this, inshallah. I'm sure I missed few, but inshallah, we will continue with these sessions, as I mentioned, with specific questions. Dr. Basim, the last words, inshallah.
I have two words, one for the people of Houston in particular,
and one for all humanity. Imam Shafi'i, and this same statement was attributed to Nawawi rahimahullah, said, if you consider living in a town, make sure you have two sort of people. A scholar that teach you the matter of your deen, and a physician that would treat you for your health.
That part I forgot to translate, so good that you mentioned.
And in Houston, alhamdulillah, you got the best of the two worlds.
Alhamdulillah.
We have some of the best scholars of the world authority, وَلَا نُزَكِّي عَلَى اللَّهِ أَحَدٍ. We're blessed to have Sheikh Salah amongst us, alhamdulillah. And we have the best healthcare system in the world, the best medical center in the world, and we have a great leadership. We commend the city officials and all the people who are constantly, day and night, providing us with update with their marvelous plan on how to handle this crisis. So for the people of Houston, rest assured, you're in the right place, alhamdulillah. Congratulate you, and may Allah bless you, protect you. For everyone else, I remind you with one word of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. فَلَوْلَا إِذْ جَاءَهُمْ بَأْسُنَا تضرعوا. Wouldn't they, when they're afflicted by our hardship, meaning the hardship of Allah, come back in humility and humbleness, praying to Allah? This is what Allah expects you to do now. When He afflicts you with hardship, that you humble yourself, you come back to Him. And that would give you the peace, the tranquility. Anything that happens to you now is in the hands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, with His knowledge, with His hearing and seeing subhanahu wa ta'ala. Submit to Him, subhanahu wa ta'ala, come back to Him, He'll protect you, and He will give you the peace in this life and the hereafter. May Allah protect you, bless you, protect all the humanity, and remove this hardship and alleviate the suffering and the pains of all people. وجزاكم الله خيرا.
This brings us to an end. Before we end,
I'd like to address my family, my friends, my Estonian, fellow Estonians, Texans, fellow American citizens, and all over the world, Muslims and non-Muslims. This is the time that we unite as a human community to fight something that is affecting the human community. And we believe in God, but maybe somebody who doesn't. But there is one thing now that's uniting everybody. For us as Muslims, this is a sign that this creation has one creator. Because one virus united everybody. How about the Lord of the virus? The one who created that virus. As Muslims, that's what we believe. That one virus united the efforts of humanity. So, and God told humanity to worship Him alone. So that's my message to everybody. It's something to reflect on. Also, I commend all the leaders of the organizations, Islamic organizations. And as the Sheikh mentioned, even if their mistakes happen, their intention was not to make mistakes. Their intention was to help. Even if they make mistakes, Allah will reward them, inshallah. I advise myself and all the regular lay people to always be behind your scholars and behind your professionals. Be behind them both. And listen. I know it is hard times. Sometimes you will do things that you are not satisfied with, but please do it. Be united in doing it. So I commend you, all the Islamic organizations that are working for the betterment. Please unite. Please be there and trust the Sheikh. Trust them. Do not bypass them. Give them the head seat in guiding us through these times of trials according to Islam. And they will give you the leadership seat to do the administrative and logistics and help others with the money and the zakat for them. No contradiction. We are together in this, and we will come out from it strong, inshallah. Jazakumullah khairan for your patience. I loved this gathering, and I'm sure you did. On your behalf, I thank our scholar, Dr. Salah. Jazakumullah khairan. I know you are very tired and exhausted. Thank you, Sheikh. May Allah make it in your reward. Thank you, Dr. Basim. I know you just came from travel. And may Allah Azza wa Jalla give health to your family and to your parents and everybody. And thank you so much for giving me this time. I know you were not ready. I put you to this. Thank you so much. And thank you, my dear brothers and sisters. We'll see you again. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.